Hello and welcome, everyone. You're listening to the Fire and Rice Podcast. Hey, listeners, we're back for the Fire and Rice Podcast. And today we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit and the importance of the Bible.
Eugene, we don't need the Bible, man. We just walk in the Holy Spirit. We don't need the Holy Spirit. We got the Bible. That you should put that in there.
Get behind me, Satan.
Yeah. Yeah. Are we starting or are we?
Oh, I think we have.
We're recording.
Just go for it, man. And just for the record, dude, I am a Bible thumper, loud and proud about the Bible. That's what's funny is me coming into this context, I'm like, oh, all of a sudden the Holy Spirit guy, you know? Oh, Drew's just all about the Holy Spirit. But funny thing is, I go into more charismatic churches, and then I'm all of a sudden the Bible guy.
You're the Bible thumper.
I'm the Bible thumper.
Hey, Drew, help me understand here, right? We know like Bible is super important, right? And there's always kind of this bifurcation between like Holy Spirit versus the Bible in different churches. And from my background, I grew up in what they would describe as a very Bible-based church. And that's why we don't do Holy Spirit stuff, because that's like crazy charismatic stuff.
Mm.
But experiencing the Holy Spirit is totally scriptural, right?
Mm.
If we're looking at Acts, it's completely filled with miracles, and it's not just Jesus. These are people, and they're filled with the Holy Spirit. Can you help me understand this?
So there's usually two tendencies. I'll simplify like this. Father, Son, and Holy Scripture, or Father, Son, and Holy Spirit without Scripture. And so we obviously know that the Bible teaches it's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's not Father, Son, and Holy Scripture. And so that's usually the tendency, is overemphasize the Scripture. I've been a part of certain churches. They'll come in and they're holding like a golden Bible down the center aisle. And overemphasis of the Scripture to the neglect of the Spirit. Or overemphasis of the Spirit without the foundation of God's Word in Scripture. Both are errors. Both are not sufficient, and that's not what the Bible teaches, and we need a robust and dynamic theology of the Holy Spirit in our day-to-day lives to actually be biblical. Why is it so imbalanced or truncated? I think that's just how America is sometimes. People are constantly reacting to their tradition. If you grow up in a non-Holy Spirit-emphasized church, where it's just all Bible, 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 and head knowledge information, you grow up and you kind of experience something different, then you react to the opposite extreme, and then vice versa. If you grow up in a Holy Spirit church where it seems like it's all emotionalism and just experiential and constantly storytelling and testimonies and feelings, and then you experience some sort of manipulation, you grow up and you react opposite. And you're like, oh, I'm sick of that. Just give me the Bible without the experiential side, without the leading of the Holy Spirit. We do have to just know that it's basic. It's basic biblical Christianity, starting in Genesis, that we can hear the voice of God. We need to hear the voice of God. New Testament, my sheep hear my voice. Jesus says, it's better for me to leave so that the Holy Spirit can come and remind you of everything that I've said. And you will do greater works than these. And it's not just Acts. It's the very words of Christ himself. Part of the what we're hoping to do is fan that flame and bring that emphasis on the right places. We want to be both biblical and full of the Holy Spirit. Hard to do, though. Hard to do.
It's what we endeavor to do. I'm really looking forward to just having discussions with you guys about the experiential as well as the biblical and the truth of it all and living it out on a day-to-day basis. And just share that experience.
After experiencing kind of the Holy Spirit in a more manifest way, it has totally changed the way I read scripture. I remember when, after I got the gift of tongues, I was like,
yeah,
I need to reread the Bible. And every time I read the Bible, I was like, oh my gosh, all this stuff that was there that I just read before and interpreted it in kind of a religious metaphoric kind of way. Oh no, it's just straight out just saying just the way things are. I was like, whoa. I mean, I've read this so many times, but I never could understand it.
Well, speaking in tongues, you're one of those people, Charlie. cannot believe Eugene. We got to kick this guy out. I don't know if he's really saved, man. I'm just messing. I don't know if the audience knows my humor yet, so they might think I'm being serious. I was all serious.
You're so deadpan now, it's Drew. Yeah, I know. This is the pastor, Drew.
Hey, I'm not a pastor anymore. I'm a prison chaplain now, dude. Yeah, no. The devil wants to discredit scripture, okay? Or he wants to use scripture for his purposes. Mm. I know people, Christian circles, depends on, you know, California tends to be like down on the Bible because there's so much like proof texting and manipulation, right? For your own agenda, using the Bible for your politics and stuff. So they're very cynical about the Bible. So that's the work of the devil too, is to get us to be cynical about the Bible. So the devil wants to discredit the Bible, and the devil will use the Bible for his purposes. We've got to be mindful of both of those strategies from the devil. And so we want to be fully scriptural, but also discerning and wise with how we interpret scripture in order to be led more by the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit.
I would also point out that the same thing, the devil seems to want to do a very similar thing to the Holy Spirit.
Oh, dang. That's it, Charlie. Keep going.
Either like you want to totally overemphasize the Holy Spirit to the point where like the Bible's secondary, or no, those Holy Spirit people are just crazy and they are unrooted. And so that's dangerous and we don't want any of that. And that just totally takes away the power from your faith.
Wow. That's money right there. Yeah. So the same thing that I said about scripture, same the devil wants to do with the Holy Spirit. The devil tries to discredit the Bible, and the devil tries to discredit the Holy Spirit as well. Because the Holy Spirit is what the Bible teaches. I'm in that category where I'm constantly fighting against people thinking that I'm this or that. So for instance, whenever I go into churches, I have to spend the first year doing exegetically sound biblical expository preaching. It takes me a year to build trust with the educated evangelical, with all of their preconceived notions of what a good pastor does. If people are all open to the Holy Spirit, first sermon, I just like, hey, God, what do you want me to say to this group of people? God may be like, I'm going to give you these five verses that this community is lacking, that they need to be mindful of. These five verses, and I just go in it. Boom, 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 boom. This is what the Lord has showed to me for you. Meditate on this scripture. Thus saith the Lord, you know. Let's pray. Everybody come forward. Let's ask the Holy Spirit to give us, pour out his Spirit upon us. Let's be set free of some of the ungodly mindsets that we've adopted without knowing. Let's take out all religiosity. Let's just be people of the Holy Spirit, which means we're people secure in God's love. People that know that we're enough because Christ died for our sins. And we're not trying to perform. We're not trying to prove ourselves. We're not trying to be morally good people so that people can think we're good. No, in fact, it's, hey, Christ is the only one that's fully morally good. And so there's a grace that you walk in and you're a safe person. You give people permission to be authentic. Because you're not that surprised when they confess their sins to you. You're not that surprised when they even show their sin to you. And then you can proclaim to them, peace of Christ be with you. I'm a sinner as well, saved by grace, through faith, not of myself, so that no man can boast. Ephesians chapter 2. Then God can say, hey, sin no more because you know my love. But most people, they become religious because it's just sin no more. In their own strength, without the love of God, without the Holy Spirit.
And you also touched on something too, right? You were saying that a lot of people say, well, I heard it in a sermon from a pastor. And this isn't a sweeping statement for everybody, but I think that's a pretty big population out there where that's their experience with the Bible, is faithfully going to sermon every week and hearing a sermon, receiving that. Mm-hmm. And that's where they're getting the information from. rather than going back to the Bible itself and reading it.
And for themselves.
In full context.
And in the spirit.
That's right. You can't know Jesus well unless you know the Bible well. But you can't know the Bible well unless the Holy Spirit's showing you the right interpretation and the nature and character of God. The Holy Spirit's showing you who Jesus is in the Bible. The way we learn how God is speaking to us today through the Holy Spirit is we have to train ourselves to know how the Holy Spirit spoke in the past through the Bible.
Yeah.
In the different contexts, right? So in this context, if God says this, then in that same context, he's probably going to say that too.
So what you feel from the Spirit now is consistent with
how the Holy Spirit spoke in the past in the same situation.
Right. And if anything, like the Bible is the gold standard of prophecy, right? Anything you get now should be aligned to that.
Aligned to that. Yeah. And that's what people mean when they say, oh, it shouldn't contradict scripture. It's actually a little more nuanced. It doesn't contradict how God would speak in the past. Verses such as, God is just the same yesterday, today, and forever. That doesn't mean God is always the same and says the same things every single time in every single situation. It's saying his character will never change. And so in a certain context, he's going to do what's right and what's beautiful and what's loving and what's all wise. And that's not going to change. That's why scripture is awesome. People don't realize how crazy a miracle it is for us to have the 66 writings that we call the Bible, the Old and New Testaments. 1,500 years, over 40 different authors having a consistent message recorded and composed and put together in a book that we have today in multiple translations. People have no idea how blessed we are to have this, these sacred writings.
Hey, Drew, you brought up something just now, too. For people's own background, I think everyone's coming at this from a different place, but just to level set across everyone. Sometimes we think that the Holy Spirit was dropped in the New Testament once Jesus announced it and it came on Pentecost. But the Holy Spirit's been around from the very first page of it.
That's right.
Any just quick summary of the Holy Spirit across the Bible?
Yeah, Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters.
Right on.
And so from the beginning, I believe the Spirit, Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, is talking about the Holy Spirit. Even in the beginning, we see in the New Testament that Christ was there. Colossians chapter 1. He is the image of the invisible God. In him, all things were made. And he's talking about Christ. Okay. Colossians 1:15 is a great question because it helps us to even see the grand story of the Bible. There's different interpretations of how the Holy Spirit works in the past before the New Testament time. And then how God unfolds his nature and character. There's different interpretations. But from a grand scheme of things, the Bible is actually God unfolding his nature and character, revealing who he is as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And you have to look at the Bible and history as almost like you're watching a play and there's curtains being opened, being revealed. And so in Genesis, in the Old Testament, obviously we don't know the full extent of the Holy Spirit and who he is, that he's a person, that he's one with the Father and the Son. But today, now that we have the book of Revelations and the entirety of the written word of God canonized, the mystery throughout generations has been fully revealed to us that God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And then at Pentecost, Acts chapter 1 and 2, it's the official revealing of God as Holy Spirit. Doesn't mean that God didn't work in the past through the Holy Spirit, but it's like, it's the official moment. He is here. And today we are also recipients. Today, the fact that the three of us call ourselves followers of Christ, lovers of Christ, people that have the Holy Spirit, it just shows that the prophecies are being fulfilled and have been fulfilled, to have power of the Holy Spirit to be his witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. And we are here in Silicon Valley, so to the ends of the earth in 2023. So that's a fulfillment of that verse. I hope that helps.
Wow, that was a lot.
Like, I just want to count to three and take a time out so everyone has a moment to digest.
Take a deep breath. I know. Don't want to bombard people, man.
All right, Charlie. Back to you. Any more thoughts?
How does it relate to, like, the prophets? The prophets, they had a bigger standard. You get one wrong, you're killed, right? But
yeah.
Can you talk a bit into that and then how it's different for us now? Because we don't hold that standard, right? If you get a prophecy wrong.
Yeah, love it. So part of the official sort of inauguration of the Holy Spirit coming, remember, God's always been prepared for something better. He couldn't give us the fullness too early because Christ hadn't come yet, didn't die on the cross yet, didn't resurrect yet, and his son wasn't revealed yet. But once the son has come, Jesus, everything has been revealed. And now, as far as the Holy Spirit has come, now every person can receive his presence through the power of the Holy Spirit. In the Old Testament, though, to experience God's presence, people had to go to the temple, go to the tabernacle. There's all this, the law, you know, you had to sacrifice unblemished lamb to gain access to the presence of God because people were so unclean and you needed that mediation, the perfect sacrifice.
Couldn't cut your hair.
Yeah. And there's a lot of different sacrifices, even for unconscious sin, just in case it's the sin that we don't even know about. But it was all a foreshadowing and preparation for the perfect sacrifice that would come through Christ. But now that Christ has come, he was the perfect sacrifice, which allows us through his Spirit to be the temple now. And so we are walking temples, tabernacle. We can prophesy. We can be filled with the Spirit. We can have the presence of God with us. And so we don't have to necessarily invite people to go to, say, the temple to experience the presence of God. We are walking temples of the presence of God through the power of the Holy Spirit. So those are some of the differences.
Wow, that's a lot. I'm gonna have to process that later.
That's good. And Drew, any comments or commentary on the empowerment of Jesus by the Holy Spirit?
Oh, yeah. Like the realization that Jesus was doing all ministry and all his miracles through the Holy Spirit as an example for us. It's not just Jesus is just doing miracles because he's Jesus. He can do anything he wants, but rather he is demonstrating for us how you can do it with the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, there's a theology that Jesus arrived fully as man, but he had access to God and the Holy Spirit and was able to use that connection to perform his ministry and all the signs and wonders.
Yeah, with this one, I'm going to take a more careful approach. Whenever you're talking about the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, I think we have to be careful that we don't speak error and heresy. The root of all heresy is a misunderstanding or imbalance of the Godhead. That's where it begins. Subordinating the Son, they call it subordination of the Son. But I will say that Jesus, he was born as a baby, he grew up, he was also discovering the power of the Holy Spirit in him. So it's not like he was a baby, he was like, oh, I have the fullness of the Holy Spirit in me.
And quoting scripture coming out of the womb.
Yeah, so it's something that's a little bit of, I want to be careful how I'm talking about it, because he had to have faith that the Holy Spirit was in him. And he had to have faith that he was, in fact, the Son of God. And he was probably grappling with all that too. Mm. Even grappling, I want to be careful. Maybe he didn't grapple. It was kind of innate in him, but and then it was embryonic. You know, like Neo, I am the one. Was it like Neo where he questioned himself? Or was it more of a quiet, oh, there's something. Who knows?
Yeah, the Bible is silent on that, right?
The Bible is silent, and there's a reason for that. Because him and the Father and the Holy Spirit, they are one, but they're different persons. Even in the early church, there was a huge schism. It's called the Great Schism of 1054, where they fought about this exact issue, whether the Holy Spirit was sent by Jesus or if the Holy Spirit was sent by the Father. So the church split because of this issue. They shouldn't have split. Honestly, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are one, different persons. Probably the Father sent the Spirit and the Son sent the Spirit. To me, I can't say anything too definitive. Like, I think it would just be my own speculation. All I'll say is that Christ had to have faith, just like us, that the Holy Spirit is with us. And that whatever he does is actually from the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is and Christ are one. So it's like when he was walking on earth in John 14, 15, 16, he says, it's better for me to go so that the Holy Spirit can come.
Right.
So it's like in that moment, was it the Holy Spirit speaking to the disciples or was it Jesus? You wonder, because Jesus is one with the Holy Spirit. But then he said, it's better for me to go so the Holy Spirit could come. So there's an aspect of the Holy Spirit hasn't come yet, right? But obviously, it's not like the Holy Spirit wasn't there working also.
Yeah. Or he hadn't come in that way or been offered in that way before to be available to each person personally and individually.
Exactly. And Jesus was limited because that's part of the communicable and incommunicable attributes of God. There's certain attributes of the Father that Jesus doesn't have. For instance, the Father is able to be everywhere at the same time, omnipresent. The Father, he's everywhere. He can see the whole world. Jesus, though, couldn't see the whole world because he's limited in a human body.
Yeah, the limitations of an incarnation.
Exactly. But the Holy Spirit, though, just because Jesus said, it's better for me to go so the Holy Spirit can come officially, doesn't mean the Holy Spirit wasn't working somewhere else in that moment in the hearts of people that are longing for God or in prayer for something, in their devotion. There's a little bit of a mystery in that. I'm okay with the mystery. I love mystery because it allows for imagination and beauty to be fostered. It's fun to talk about. It's fun to wrestle with.
Holy guacamole, Batman.
Yeah. Holy protein. That was a lot of meat. By the way, folks, Drew comes from Texas and he's used to serving up some big time barbecue. So let's just take a second to digest all of that. So, Drew, did you have any final closing thoughts that you might want to bring to this episode?
I think we just bring it back to the Bible. It's always good safeguard where you develop a biblical worldview as the foundation of trying to discern what the Holy Spirit is saying or who the Holy Spirit is, what the Holy Spirit is doing. We want to be people of the text. We do. And ask yourself, oh, where in the Bible does it say that for yourself? Obviously, there's still a matter of interpretation, but it's a really good safeguard just to, in your mind, have a biblical paradigm, have verses memorized, and you can always go back to the text. It's like, oh yeah, in this verse, let's say that. But we know it can't just be in one place. What about in that another place? And just to be wrestling with the text, Joshua chapter 1, verse 8 says, do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night. Meditate, chew on, reflect on, so that you may be prosperous and successful when you do everything in it. I believe the Holy Spirit allows us to meditate on Scripture slowly. It's not rushed. The more we meditate on Scripture, I believe the more discernment, the more clarity, and the more power of the Holy Spirit comes upon us.
Our God is the Lion of Judah. He is roaring with power and fighting our battles, and every knee will bow before him. Our God is the Lamb that was slain for the sin of the world. His blood breaks the chains, and every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb. Every knee will bow before me.